Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Pandora is hoping the move towards lab-grown diamonds will be forever. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. A very good morning to you. The lab-grown diamond industry is booming. The market share for lab-grown diamonds has jumped from 3.5% in 2018 to a forecasted 16.5% in 2023, according to the Zeminski Global Rough Diamond Index. It's now a $14 trillion market. But diamond prices, both lab-grown and mined, have been on the decline. So what does that mean for Pandora, the world's largest jewellery maker, as it expands its lab-grown diamond range?
It's time for a new kind of diamond. One that's made, not mined, and is as unique as you and me.
The idea behind a lab-grown diamond is that they're more sustainable and they're cheaper. Pandora's lab-grown diamonds start at $290 for a 0.15 of a carat and go up to $4,450 for a 2-carat diamond. And the reason is because making them is a lot less expensive than mining them, says Alexander Lasik, Chief Executive Officer of Pandora.
In terms of production cost, if you take the example of a 1 carat versus the other carat, so roughly is a third of the production cost for a lab-grown versus a mined, which obviously then ends up in a consumer price.
The thing is, another aspect to the diamond market is the resale. After all, diamonds might not actually be yours forever, especially if you can get a bit of cash for them. But the price of diamonds, mined or lab-grown, have fallen. The Zeminski Global Rough Diamond Index shows diamond prices dropping by 15.1% from the start of 2023 and 16.5% over the last 12 months. And in the last 7 years, a single carat lab-grown diamond has plunged more than threefold due to a flood of supply. Alexander Lasik from Pandora says it's too early to tell how the resale market for lab-grown diamonds will play out.
I think the lab-grown segment is so young that I don't think this really is a major topic at this stage of the game. 5-10 years ago, this category literally didn't exist. The fact still remains, a diamond is a diamond. So as long as people accept that fact, and with the 4C methodology, which is kind of a common standard in the industry, that there's no reason why there should be a different value proposition.
And Alexander says one side to the market that can be overlooked is the self-purchase category. In other words, the treat-yourself purchases.
Literally nobody's advertising or trying to position themselves on that side of the spectrum except Pandora. So our idea is more to offer this up to the middle of the market. They might have aspired to own a piece of jewelry with a diamond, but they simply couldn't afford it. So my vision is that the whole category is actually going to expand.
That was Alexander Lasik, Chief Executive Officer of Pandora. Now, let's do the numbers. Hong Kong is cutting stamp duties for property and stock trades to give a boost to its economy. And it's also given a boost to the Asian markets this morning. China's CSI 300 closed up 0.5%. European stocks are heading down, though, ahead of the European Central Bank's decision on interest rates tomorrow. Now, speaking of markets, eToro, that's a trading and investment platform. It says that short selling, that's when you're betting a stock will go down rather than up, has risen in popularity with ordinary investors in the last few years. Here's its UK boss, Dan Michalski.
Whereas 5 or 6 years ago, you know, it would cost you £20 in order to invest in a particular stock. Now it quite commonly costs you nothing. Zero commission offerings are fairly common. So I think it's that combination of availability and that desire to take control of their of people's financial futures that have really exploded. And I think we can say it's really exploded. You know, this was a niche product 5 years ago. People didn't talk about their financial. Maybe it was just through house prices that people would talk at a dinner party. Now people are very happy to share their own stock portfolio. They're happy to share their wins and their losses, which is something that just didn't happen 5 years ago.
That was Dan Michalski from eToro. And you can listen to our three-part series on short selling now if you search for Business Daily wherever you get your podcasts. French cuisine is famous around the world, but there have been concerns in France that restaurant standards are slipping. And that's why the government has announced new rules that mean businesses must tell customers if food on the menu is not made on premises. The BBC's Hugh Schofield has more.
It might come as some surprise. It's definitely not something the food business likes much to talk about. But the fact is that at your average affordable French bistro or brasserie, what you're eating has almost certainly not been cooked on the premises. Far more likely, especially if the menu's a long one, your dish has been bought, ready prepared and frozen. Or it's been delivered that day from a big out-of-town mega kitchen where blanquettes de veau or whatever are mass-produced and then put in vans. There's no disgrace, it's pure economics. Most restaurants would go under if they'd to hire all the extra staff needed to go homemade. But it is a little unfair on those establishments that do actually make the effort. So genuine, bona fide restaurateurs are delighted by this new initiative, which means that dishes produced by their competitors, which aren't fait maison, will have to be signalled as such. Alain Fontaine runs Le Musturé in central Paris.
In 20 years, obesity has increased by 20% in France, and the most popular restaurants are fast food. Our grandmothers and mothers taught us how to eat well, so how did we end up like this? That's why we have to win this battle, and the minister, of course, has the support of all proper restaurateurs.
Behind it all is that ever-present French fear of losing status, of being déclassé, saying goodbye to what once made the country great. One international food website last year ranked French gastronomy in 9th position, behind Turkey and the United States. That is a humiliation which French chefs find hard indeed to swallow.
Hugh Schofield in Paris with that report. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Our producer today was Naomi Rainey. I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great day.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.